From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we give you a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today on Deadline is looking at a new concern in the ever-changing world of artificial intelligence, as well as growing frustrations with the new technology. First, let's discuss a rising issue when it comes to AI, and one you might not have thought of before: how it impacts the power grid. While the private and public sector are looking to implement AI in their work and everyday lives, heavy use of the technology could create issues for the energy sector and possibly the environment. The real-world effects of AI are now being seen by one of the world's largest tech companies. Last week, Google shared its annual environment report. It found that since 2019, Google's greenhouse gas emissions have soared by nearly 50%. And it indicates that the leading cause of that boost in emissions is the rush to incorporate artificial intelligence into Google's core products. You might be wondering at this point how using AI increases emissions. Well, AI systems require a lot of computers in order to function. They rely on large data centers that are basically warehouses full of powerful computing equipment sucking up tons of energy. And that doesn't even address the heat the computers give off. If you've ever experienced an overtaxed laptop turning into a heating pad in your lap, yeah, just multiply that. In fact, Google blamed its increase in emissions on these warehouses, saying it was mainly due to, quote, increased data center energy consumption and supply chain emissions. As these concerns continue to mount, many are worried that the push towards a world with AI could create irreversible damage to the environment along the way. Dr. Benjamin Lee, a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at the University of Pennsylvania, joined Odyssey to share more on this potential danger.
In less than 4 years, generative AI will consume more power than some small countries. So where does sustainability come into play as we contend with the future of AI tech?
I think that's a great question and a really challenging one. We're really concerned about the energy usage, like the electricity usage of all of these graphics processing units and other types of processes that really churn away at the new calculations that we require from artificial intelligence. And the question really is, where is all of that electricity coming from? Many of the big technology companies have invested significantly in renewable energy like wind and solar, but it turns out that growth in artificial intelligence is far outpacing growth in renewable energy installations. So we're really worried about where some of that energy is going to be coming from if AI continues to grow at the rate it has been growing at.
So does that mean we'll see more server farms, just gigantic buildings out in the middle of deserts across the country powering these things?
That's right. That's potentially true. I mean, there are some places like Nebraska where there's a lot of wind energy, and data center operators are thinking or looking closely at those types of locations. The Pacific Northwest has been historically a great place to build data centers because of abundant hydro and other sorts of renewable energy. So increasingly, you cannot think about building data centers without also thinking about where that energy is coming from. And hopefully, that energy will be coming from renewable sources. But again, the rate of growth in AI is a concern because renewable energy installations aren't keeping pace.
So is there legislation in place now or proposed legislation that would impose environmental standards, regulations on the AI and tech industries?
That's a great question. We would typically think about regulatory environments and the environmental impact. At the moment, technology companies are essentially regulating themselves. Many of them are setting their own sustainability targets. For example, they want to be net zero by a certain time frame, maybe 2030. And then they're setting out their own strategies for meeting those sustainability objectives, typically using these offsets that you can purchase and offset the energy usage that their data centers are using. So many of these companies have defined their own goals and they are pursuing them independently. I think there's a question about whether regulations can come into play that create greater coordination and help them do more than just whatever they're doing independently.
And talk a little bit about the impact of AI energy consumption being felt by the most disadvantaged communities. First of all, is that true? And what can be done to make sure that doesn't happen?
I think certainly there has been a decoupling of where data centers are built and where the computation that those data centers are supplying are being used. So, for example, we could build quite a few data centers in Nebraska where there's a lot of wind and you can go to the Midwest. But the problem is that maybe there's not a whole lot of users of that computation in that part of the country. There aren't that many jobs being created through the creation, through the construction of these data centers because they don't require that many people to work in those large server farms. So the question is, are we simply, when we build data centers at a particular location, are we simply using up their land and using up their energy without really impacting the local community much more beyond that? An example that's often talked about is Northern Virginia. We see a lot of data centers being built in Northern Virginia. It turns out that the local grid there is having difficulty hitting its own sustainability goals and also satisfying the electricity demands from all of these data center operators. So there is real tension between the local community who might want to see more carbon-free energy in their local grid, but also the data center operators that are building these large facilities in that community. So I think we could do a better job in terms of linking the benefits and the costs of data center construction with those local communities.
Environmental activists aren't the only ones calling for AI to be reined in. Other groups are also worried about the impacts of the technology as it reaches into more corners than we might have previously imagined. Mira Murati, Chief Technology Officer at OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, raised eyebrows last month when she seemed to suggest that AI could fill creative roles meant for humans. This possibility was a major point in last summer's actors and writers strikes, and though contracts have been signed in Hollywood, concerns still exist. Writer, producer, director, and actor Justine Bateman, who also holds a bachelor's degree in computer science, shared those concerns with Odyssey's KNX News.
What she says and what they're doing are two different things. That's a nice sentiment, and it should be the way it's been used, but it's not. It's not being used that way. It's being used to reduce human capital overhead so that profit margins can widen. And they're doing it in areas where, from their position, from their uneducated position, it's an inexact science.
She is warning creative workers in the entertainment industry to brace themselves for more AI intrusions.
Unfortunately, the people that fund the arts are more than willing to widen their profit margins by having computer programs do things that a cinematographer, an actor, et cetera, a writer would normally be doing. And it expresses a fundamental ignorance and a complete lack of understanding of the art. So listen, they're just a tech company that's trying to get people on board with buying all access to ChatGPT, DALL-E, et cetera. Unfortunately, I think they will wreck the business, but let's not kid ourselves. There's no collaboration. This is not something collaborative about it.
Bateman believes it is absolutely the intention of Hollywood studios to replace human creative jobs with AI models.
This is just flat out eliminating humans. I mean, when you eliminate paying salary for people, I mean, imagine on a set, if you eliminate having to pay people their daily rate, you also eliminate having to feed them. You eliminate having to buy insurance for the set. You eliminate having to transport any of these people anywhere. You eliminate them not being able to show up or getting sick, or you eliminate having to deal with humans. And that is part of the problem of what's going on with tech right now. Now it's just the love of money and money grubbing and at any expense. And this is not benefiting anybody except somebody who wants wider profit margins. That's it.
Some may look to AI as the answer for all questions about the future. But it might not bring the all-encompassing changes many dream or dread that it will. Take this example. Amazon announced in April that it would discontinue its Just Walk Out program that allowed grocery store customers to scan a card to enter and leave without checking out. AI was supposed to record what shoppers bought, but it didn't work out that way. Multiple outlets cited issues with the AI as the reason for the program's downfall, and Bloomberg even reported that Amazon eventually relied on human contractors to comb through camera footage before discontinuing it. Here's another example. In 2021, McDonald's began partnering with IBM to implement an AI tech system in some of its drive-thrus. While the system was supposed to help fix order mix-ups, it reportedly failed to get it right. The companies are now canceling the partnership. AI expert Tony Fernandez recently shared more on the failed experiment and how what went wrong with the tech in that case may hold implications for AI's future.
McDonald's in particular, it has a particularly varied customer base, and it has people with different dialects, different accents, different ways of expressing the order itself. You know, some people might say, I want 12 nuggets versus I want 12 chicken McNuggets. It presents particular challenges for AI.
Right, but to go back to your example, you know, somebody says, I'd like an order of nuggets, and the AI is not sure that it's chicken McNuggets, but I don't think they sell other nuggets, do they? So shouldn't the AI be smart enough to know, oh, this dude wants chicken?
Yeah, you'd think that. But, you know, here's the thing about humans in relation to AI. Humans can do a lot of inference. They understand the context of what somebody intends. They have intuition, and maybe they were barely legible, right? But you can get a sense. You picked up the end of the word nuggets because they showed up to the drive-thru being relatively drunk, and you knew what they intended.
The AI, by the way, is so smart. When that driver behind the wheels pulls up drinking and asks for the chicken McNuggets, shouldn't the AI say, forget the McNuggets, get out of the car, dude?
That's a really great idea, and also an example of human common sense. But AI, unfortunately, lacks all of that, at least this current generation of AI.
I mean, this is obviously the beginnings. Do you think that at some point, and how long into the future do you think, that AI will get it pretty much down?
You know, the reality is I don't fall into the same belief system that many in tech do. I think we are very far off. I would ask this question. How close are you to being able to call a car that's completely AI driven? You put your child in it and say, take my child to school, and you feel totally safe and totally good with that idea.
It depends what you think of the child.
It's very true. But I think most parents would not be willing to do that now, and I don't know, perhaps, if they ever will be.
So here's what we can say about AI. The widespread implementation of the technology might not come as quickly as some people think. I mean, some of us even have hang-ups over self-checkout versus human cashiers at the grocery store. It's not too far off to imagine that the jump to artificial intelligence-run drive-thrus and service desks isn't going to be as smooth as some of the AI champions hope. So, in reality, a world where everyone has a version of Rosie, the wisecracking robot from the Jetsons, at their beck and call, probably isn't coming anytime soon. As for flying cars and jetpacks, all we can do is hope. And as we wait, progress continues. Apple recently announced its new version of AI, ChatGPT is continuing to evolve, and with other tech companies fighting for a piece of the pie, a lot could change in just the next 6 months. Add into that two presidential candidates who could have two vastly different approaches to regulating the industry, and who knows what will happen by this time next year. So, to stay in the know, keep listening to On Deadline. Produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.